This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Democrats will hold primaries tomorrow in Oregon and Kentucky. Bernie Sanders has won the last two contested primaries and is expected to win at least one more tomorrow. Hillary Clinton is now trying to stop his momentum in Kentucky. Nancy Cordes is in Lexington, where she will hold a rally tonight. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning. Hillary Clinton made a big last-minute investment here in Kentucky, time and money, hoping to pull off a win in at least one of the two states voting tomorrow. She was at a pair of churches yesterday, courting the African-American vote, held a pair of rallies. She's holding three more rallies today. Now, the reality is that her delegate lead is so large that she could afford to lose all of the primaries from here on out through the primary season. But her campaign is worried that that would send her sort of limping into the Democratic convention and leave her a weaker candidate. Sanders has now won a pair of contests in a row, and with the upcoming states, the Clinton campaign knows that they've got some tough states ahead of them. In Nevada, a group of Sanders supporters over the weekend showed that unity is still going to be a challenge for this party. They disrupted the state's party convention because they felt that the rules for allotting delegates were unfair. The Clinton campaign isn't wildly successful, confident that she will be successful here in Kentucky tomorrow, even though, Charlie, she won here by 35 points 8 years ago.
You know, the thing that's amazing, Scott, is people are starting to, you know, connect the dots here. They can see this that's going on. Barack Obama has been devastating, you know, for all of us by way of jobs and businesses, the economy that continues to languish. And Hillary, I mean, I don't know how she figures that that's a plus, but she says, look, we're going to continue the next 4 years if I'm elected. We're going to continue with Barack Obama, because some people believe that, I don't know how they do this, but they believe that this has been a positive. But, you know, and I got to tell you that if in fact, you know, President Obama's policies had gotten this country back on track and we're screaming along and the economy is doing great, people got jobs, businesses, you know, going great, they would be, you know, talking that up. They'd be taking that to the bank. But they got nothing. They got nothing.
There was a part of that story that I absolutely loved, and it makes me laugh every time, because I think of a skit by Key and Peele every time I hear it. She's in Kentucky courting the black vote, which means she's pandering to a group of people so they vote to her.
Right.
And you hear it all the time, you know, with the women vote, the Latino vote, the, you know, anytime you're pandering, you're just telling people what they want to hear so they vote for you.
Of course.
That's not a benefit to anybody other than yourself, I guess. And if you're going to be in politics, try and benefit people. You know, you should be able to get those votes based off of what you want to do. I want to do this. This is how I'm going to do this. Oh, well, that sounds like it's really going to help me. You have my vote. It should be.
So you're going to tell me. So you're going to tell me the Clinton Foundation is about helping everybody else? I mean, you know, this is the thing. You know, when you think about, you know, and you ask her people in her inner circle, what has she done? What has she accomplished? You know, they get that, you hear crickets, and they get that, you know, that look, that deer in the headlights kind of look. And you go, well, that's not a fair question. Well, how is that not a fair question? But, you know, most of America is not willing to ask that question, and they don't care for the answer. They just have within their perception that she's the one that's going to, she's got all the goodies, and she's got the key to the treasury that Barack Obama's had, and used that for the last 8 years to give us what? An America that's limping along. We've had the longest running, and I got to tell you, I'm fed up with hearing people say, well, you got to imagine, you know, what he inherited. Well, like what? Like that was a big surprise? I mean, he knew what he was coming into, and he said he had the answers. Well, the fact of the matter is your redistribution of income not working. it's not working for we the people. But America, you got to wake up and realize what it is that you want in this next administration. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. As always, it's great to have you along with us on, we're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 hours, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. And, bringing to you the truth as best we know how, so that we can make the kind of decisions you want to make based on the facts and the truth of the matter, not on a bunch of opinions, right? Well, with us right now is Bill Fetter, nationally known speaker, best-selling author, president of Amerisearch, Inc., a publishing company. It's always good to have Bill with us, especially to talk about how crazy this political world is right now. Bill, you and I talked about the last time that we may realize an election where, somebody only garners about 35% of the vote, and more it just seems to be the case. And if there should ever be a third party rise out of this morass of political, whatever you want to call it, it could even be lower than that. What do you think?
Well, there have been third parties in the past, but they've never won an election in the year that they were started. Mm-hmm. One was in 1856, is when the Republican Party was formed, but 4 years later was the 1860 election, and the Democrat Party imploded at the convention and huffed and puffed and left in three different parties.
Wow.
There was the National Democrat Party, the Democrat Union Party, and the Southern Democrat Party, and they had James Buchanan running, and they had Stephen Douglas, and so Lincoln got in with, I think, 39% of the vote.
Mm.
So it was a minority that Lincoln got in by. But it was because of the opposition. It would sort of be like if it's a Republican convention, they huffed and puffed and left in three parties, then Hillary would get in. But one of the things I've found...
Either that or you get the Republicans huffing and puffing, then you get the Democrats huffing and puffing, because Bernie Sanders doesn't look like he wants to go off into the sunset very easily either. So, the Democrats have been pointing to the fracturedness of the Republicans, but they themselves have issues of their own, don't they?
Well, they do. And then there's another piece of the puzzle. I ran for Congress 3 times and have a little experience, and there's more and more something called the October Surprise. So elections are first Tuesday in November. And so it's actually in the books now as a planned strategy to have some crises happen the week before the election that disrupts the election process. It has graduated from, having some dirt on your opponent that you release the week before and he doesn't have time to buy advertising and respond. That's sort of a mild version. And the other is the creating of crises.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this, and when I ran 3 times, people may be familiar with the one time it was when John Ashcroft was on the ballot. And they had said, well, gee, the Board of Election just happened to have left off of the voter rolls a lot of names. And so people would go in to vote and their name wasn't on there. And This caused a whole lot of confusion on Election Day, and the judge, who happened to have been appointed by a Democrat, said, well, we'll just leave the polls open till midnight. And there was all this confusion, and people lined around the block downtown St. Louis, and then all kinds of reports of people getting paid $20 per vote to go back and vote again and again and again. But in the confusion, there, since people's names weren't on the voter rolls, there was no way to check to see if they were registered voters or not. So basically, there was a whole lot of voter fraud. And this is when John Ashcroft lost to a dead person. Bill Carnahan was the governor who died. People are familiar with how I was in that race. But I was in the courtroom when they said, well, we're going to leave the polls open until midnight because this one guy, Mark Odom, went in to vote and his name wasn't on there. Well, found out later the Odom person had died 2 years earlier. This was a fabricated event. So there is something called the October surprise, but that was sort of a milder version. Mm-hmm. What we see now is Ferguson's, the Baltimore's, these orchestrated crises. And so I lived a half an hour from Ferguson. 99% of the people riding in Ferguson were not from Ferguson.
Exactly.
They were Occupy Wall Street people brought in. And they were advertising in Chicago newspapers, you know, go to organize Missouri for Justice and join this group and get paid thousands of dollars. And find out it was financed by a George Soros front group. And they brought people into these liberal churches and trained them how to riot. That's right. Train them how to ride. Poor people don't get the idea of holding hands across an interstate highway. It just sort of doesn't cross their mind.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And so, anyway, they rioted for, then the Democrat governor of the state ordered the National Guard to stand down for 3 days so they could do this rioting, made international news. Afterwards, they said, well, you know, this is such an emergency. We need to let the federal government take over our local police department. And then the same people were moved to Baltimore. It was a rent-a-mob, and the Democrat mayor ordered the police to stand down. I knew a guy whose son was on the police department, and his hand got cut up because they told him to hold the barricade but don't fight back. And so they did $1 billion worth of damage. And the response was, our local police departments are inadequate. We need to let the federal government take over our police departments. And so these are were orchestrated crises. And the idea is with, you know, all the other insurgencies of the college, you know, safe space and the hands up, don't shoot and the Black Lives Matter and these different groups. Are we being set up for an Arab Spring? Simultaneous Baltimores and Fergusons all across America may be building up to a head before the next election. I hope I'm wrong, but we are bringing lots of Syrian Muslim refugees into America and spreading them out all across the country. And, you know, so there are some lines of convergence that may be coming together here.
And Bill, you know, the people need to see who's spearheading this. I mean, we talk about Soros, but Soros needs a complicit group of people, excuse me, Democrats, to go along with this and to relinquish their freedoms and cry out to the federal government, the government of everything. It can't do much of anything. You know, like they're going to be the savior. They're the one to start the fire. They're participating and complicit in it. And then they come through the front door and say, hey, we're here to save the day. You know, it's like, wait a minute, you guys help light the whole thing up. And now you want to come in and be the heroes. And, you know, the rest of America is trying to survive right now. They're not into these little, you know, political games that go on, but, you know, meanwhile, their liberties are being compromised through the whole process.
Right. I wrote a new book. It's called Rise of the Tyrant, and I go through democracies and republics in history and how they rose, how they fell. And some interesting stories. One is 500 years ago in Italy, there were a bunch of city-states, Venice, Genoa, Naples, Florence, Siena, and these city-states had armies and navies and fought. And Machiavelli thought if one prince could control all of Italy, it would stop this infighting. And so he wrote a book called The Prince, where he advocated the ends justifies the means. The end of one prince controlling all of Italy is such a good end because it would stop this infighting that enemies necessary to get theirs justified. Like, you know. So if a prince conquers a city, the people would hate him. But if the prince paid criminals to kill cows and burn barns and create crisis and terror and agitate, then the people would cry out for help. The prince would come in and kill the very criminals he bribed. Nobody would know the better for it. And they'd praise the prince as a hero.
Yes.
So it's good marketing. You create the need and fill it. People are on the back of the house that are on fire. Then you go on the front of the house, some are fire.
Exactly. Nothing new under the sun, is it, Bill? Hey, Bill, we got to go to break here. Bill Federer is with
with us. It is just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. We've got more from Bill Federer on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America.
This report is brought to you by Dreft. Spring is here. Temperatures are on the rise, and after a long winter indoors, parents and their little ones are spending more time outside. The spring season brings more allergens to the air, and rising temperatures can trigger skin irritations. With all this in mind, it's important that parents seek out solutions that are gentle on babies' sensitive skin. Dr. Diane Hess, pediatrician and medical director of Gramercy Pediatrics.
As both a pediatrician and a mother, I know just how sensitive a baby's skin can be. Since clothes are in direct contact with the baby's skin, I always suggest parents to wash clothes with a specially formulated product like Dreft. It's gentle and hypoallergenic on baby's skin, and it comes with a scent that I love, and it remains safe for babies.
Dreft detergent is the number one choice of pediatricians and has been trusted by moms for 80 years to make their baby's fabrics feel clean and soft. For more tips, visit www.dreft.com. That's www.dreft.com.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the food your family loves. And the best part is, the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat. Even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the Crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims. We just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
I love the colorful clothes you wear.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Don't forget, we're giving away the DVD and the movie Risen. In fact, today they're releasing the electronic version. And then on the 27th, the DVD Blu-ray is going to be released. So your chance to win a free copy, a DVD Blu-ray copy of the movie Risen. All you got to do is send me an email. Say, Martinez, put me in the running for it. And you're there. bill@billmartinezlive.com. That's all it takes. Our conversation with Bill Fetter, nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch, continues. Bill, I wanted to address what you had on your website, AmericanMinute.com. Being the lover of history that I am, of course, you absolutely get me excited when we go back and look back on history, particularly. When President Roosevelt, FDR, before his passing, said there was no way that he was going to support a separate Israeli state. He was for the Palestinians. Then he passes, and then Truman comes on the scene, and now we have Israel being recognized. Let's recount that for the folks, if you would, please.
Right. The 1850s, the Zionist movement starts actually with Christian preachers going to synagogues saying, hey, there are these scriptures, so you're supposed to be regathered back to your homeland. Henri Dunant, the founder of the International Red Cross, was there at the first Zionist Congress there in Switzerland, and with Theodor Herzl. And so there was this movement. And so in the 1890s, they began to buy land in the Middle East, but go over there. World War One starts. The British then take control of the Middle East and give Israel a piece of their land. France gives independence to Lebanon and Syria. And then Hitler begins to take over in Germany. And then the Jews are being chased out, and they're fleeing to the Holy Land. And Hitler was going to send the Jews all to the Holy Land from Hungary and in the Czech area. But he meets with the Mufti of Jerusalem, and who's considered the father of Yasser Arafat. And the Mufti of Jerusalem says no to Hitler. We don't want the Jews killed. And so that's when Hitler started the final solution, the gas chambers. Mm. Anyway, Franklin Roosevelt coins the term United Nations. That's his term. He coined it. And he, in his speech, says we can't let this terrible genocide that went on against the Jews continue. We don't want to let it happen again. We got to come to the rescue of these Jews. He is really championing the Jews, although he did turn aside in the 1930s a ship full of Jewish refugees. But nevertheless, in 1945, February, he meets with Churchill and Stalin at Yalta. And he's feeble. I mean, this is just a couple months before he dies. And he caves and lets Stalin take half of Europe to condemn it to 70 years of communism. And so he should not have been negotiating on behalf of our nation. On his way back, he stops at the USS Quincy and the Suez Canal. And he meets with the king of Saudi Arabia. And supposedly he was going to talk to him about getting help for the Jews to resettle in the Holy Land. Well, this king of Saudi Arabia, I mean, he brings a half dozen goats on deck and slaughters them, to cook a meal for them and everything. And but he is, like, adamant. No, the Jews are terrible. And FDR is just blindsided. I mean, he doesn't know any history about this area. So he ends up corresponding with the king of Saudi Arabia saying, well, thank you for educating me on the issues there. I wasn't familiar with them. And you can be assured, as long as I'm president, that I will not recognize an independent Jewish state. Well, that was April 7th of 1845. Within a week, FDR finally, he's been sick for a long time, he finally dies. Mm-hmm. And so Harry S. Truman becomes the next president. And what's one of the very first things he does? He follows through and recognizes Israel as an independent state and has the United Nations officially acknowledge it in May of 1948. And so the British had been stopping with their white papers, Jewish immigration there, but because of their oil interests. And but so that is one of the roles that FDR played and Harry S. Truman played in the creation. And so you read Harry S. Truman's speeches. He's like, this terrible genocide that's been happening against the Jews, we want them to have their homeland and they could be secure. And so really deep down underneath of the United Nations was this effort to protect Jews. And well, what happened? Over the years, Muslim countries joined the United Nations. Now there's 57 of them, and they started their own OIC, Organization of Islamic Cooperation. It's sort of like an inner circle of the United Nations.
Right.
And Eleanor Roosevelt helped push through the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, saying you can join a religion, you can leave a religion, women are equal to men. Well, these Muslim countries, 57, OIC, start their own Cairo Declaration of Human Rights that says, no, women are not equal to men, and if you leave Islam, you get killed. This is Sharia law.
Yes.
And so they wanted to stop people from insulting Islam. And so they are using their money and their muscle, and they meet with Hillary Clinton. And it's called an OIC Istanbul process meeting. And she promises them that she's going to help them in their issue of stopping the world from insulting Islam. Well, just anything that's not Islam insults Islam. The yes. gospel insults Islam. If you're on the street of Saudi Arabia and say Jesus is the way to heaven, they kill you. Mm-hmm. Saying Jerusalem's the capital of Israel insults Islam. So anything that's not Islam insults Islam. And so we see a year before is when a Danish cartoon caused the Muslims to riot. And so they quickly passed through the EU resolution saying you cannot insult Islam. I was recently on an international sunlight broadcasting network, and they said, don't change anything against Islam because we're now broadcasting in Europe, and they don't have a First Amendment over there. They passed through these laws. So it's in effect, you can't insult Islam over there in Europe. So Hillary sees that there's this crisis, and then they rush through legislation so you don't insult Islam. So shortly after this, Hillary is refusing requests for security at Benghazi, and the troops and the security forces are being pulled out, and our ambassador eventually gets killed. And within 6 hours of him being killed, she sends memos to YouTube and Google saying, censor content insulting Islam. And then she gives speeches. We got to stop people from releasing videos insulting to Islam. And Obama picks up on it. The future doesn't belong to those who insult Islam. And Zbigniew Brzezinski on MSNBC says, you can't yell fire in a movie theater and say that you have First Amendment. You can't say something insulting Islam that causes them to riot and then they kill. And Susan Rice was on her Don't Insult Islam. And then they discover Christopher Stevens' journal, where he says, for 6 months, why can't you send me some more security? I need to. Then we find out it has nothing to do with this video insulting Islam. That was all made up. Yeah. And now there's emails that Hillary sent to her family saying this was a planned event. And then publicly she's saying, oh, it's this video insulting Islam. And so what was happening? The Muslims want to reestablish their Ottoman Empire. They called it an ISIS, an Islamic State, a caliphate. Yeah. And they're gradually pulling the rugs out from all these presidents and kings. And so Obama joins this agenda, and he fires Mubarak in Egypt. He takes out Gaddafi in Libya. I can't get my mind around how our president can simply knock off the leader of a country we're not at war with. But he gets rid of Gaddafi so that they can have democracy. Okay, 2 years have gone by. Who now controls Libya? The Muslim Brotherhood. And so now Hillary, we find out most of the emails that she doesn't want people to see are inventory lists of weapons being moved from Benghazi to Syria and Iraq to arm the Muslim Brotherhood.
Exactly. It's all gun running. It's the same thing they did down south here in Mexico. And it's fast and furious Middle East style, right?
Right. I mean, Woodrow Wilson did the same thing. I mean, he left train car loads of guns along the Mexican border to help his friend Carranza against Emiliano Zapata and, you know, Pancho Villa. And so this was a gun running operation. And so when Russia comes to Assad's rescue, these Muslim Brotherhood types decide that they're going to call themselves ISIS, and they start killing Christians. Then we rush through funding to train good Muslims to fight bad Muslims. As soon as they get armed and trained, they join ISIS. And then our president lets five Muslim generals go from Guantanamo Bay in exchange for a defector so they can go over and lead ISIS. Mm. And when the president had pulled our troops out, he left all the weapons. And so now they're driving American Humvees and shooting American guns and killing Christians. Mm. And then Susan Rice has been micromanaging our airstrikes. And so she gives them a week notice so all the Muslim Brotherhood people can get out, so we're bombing empty buildings.
Yeah. How does Susan Rice still have credibility, Bill? To me, she has no credibility whatsoever. But she still is in a very influential and powerful position within this administration. It is galling to me.
Well, it's because we have a powerless Congress to keep our president in check, so the president just sort of does what he wants. But we see, you stand back from the details and look at the picture, it starts to come into focus. And we basically flip sides on the war on terror. We're actually helping the bad guys.
Yeah, go figure. Only in America. Bill Federer, yes, you can go and go to his website, theamericanminute.com, and you can get something every day that's absolutely brilliant. We'll stimulate your mind, and maybe in some cases might even blow your mind. Bill Federer, nationally known speaker, best-selling author, president of Amerisearch. Bill, always good to have you with us. It's 29 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Small business owners across the country are concerned about the economy and are taking a wait-and-see approach to growth as election year anxiety rises. According to the Bank of America Small Business Owner Report, only 29% of entrepreneurs are confident the national economy will improve in the coming year. Furthermore, 67% believe the presidential election will affect their business. More than half say the same for congressional elections. Small business owners also expressed increased concern about health care costs and the stock market. As a result, they seem to be pulling back on hiring and growth plans, which have both declined since last year. Rob Hilson, small business executive at Bank of America, discusses the findings.
The unusual nature of this election year appears to be impacting the outlook of small business owners for both their business and the economy. Nearly 6 in 10 entrepreneurs plan to keep headcount the same, and another 17% said they were undecided about hiring, suggesting that many are taking a wait-and-see approach.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
According to the Mayo Clinic, your bones are continuously changing. New bone is made and old bone is broken down. Now, when you're young, your body makes new bone faster than it breaks down old bone, and your bone mass increases. Makes sense, doesn't it? Most people reach their peak bone mass at around 30. After that, bone remodeling continues, but you lose slightly more bone mass than you gain. Now, how likely you are to develop osteoporosis, a condition that causes bones to become weak and brittle, depends on how much bone mass you attain by the time you reach age 30 and how rapidly you lose it after that. The higher your peak bone mass, the more bone you have in the bank and the less likely you are to develop osteoporosis as you age. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, we focus on absorbability of bone-building calcium, magnesium, vitamin D3, and boron. Try our 98% healthy body, bone, and joint pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Youngevity, or call 855-305-8326.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all.
We're back with you, America. Good to have you along with us. Bill Martinez coming at you absolutely live, 28 minutes before the top of the hour, as always. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. You want to drop me an email, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. By the way, if you want those two tickets for Climate Hustle, it's going to be premiering on the 2nd of May, 7 p.m. It's a Fathom event. Got two tickets. Just say, hey, Martinez, send me tickets. But you got to get me the email first, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. We're going to talk about the Select Investigative Committee on Infant Lives, and we're honored to have Congressman Marsha Blackburn with us. American politician, member of the Republican Party, represents the Tennessee 7th Congressional District in the United States House of Representatives. Congresswoman Blackburn, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, ma'am?
I am doing well and pleased to be with you, and thank you for your focus on the Select panel.
Well, absolutely. I got to tell you, the people are absolutely brain damaged here that listen to the show, and I hear the comments all the time. They wonder, what is going on? David DeLeiden is in jail. Planned Parenthood seems to be getting off scot-free, and they're having a hard time connecting the dots here. Clearly, Planned Parenthood has broken the law. I spoke, Congressman, the other day with Abby Johnson, who worked with Planned Parenthood for many years, and you may be familiar with her story. And I asked her, when she was there in 2007 and 2008, I said, back then, Abby, were they selling baby parts during that period? She goes, oh, absolutely. She didn't even hesitate. It was automatic. I mean, so this has been something that's been going on for a long time.
Well, you know, what we're trying to do is figure out the extent of this. And it's not just Planned Parenthood. We're right. looking at the abortion industry at large and also the procurement industry, the middlemen, if you will, that have grown up in this, and looking at the business relationship between the two entities, because we do want to find out what has happened with the selling and the trafficking of these body parts. Now, the awareness did come about when the videos came up last year. Mm-hmm. And at that point, that is when the House passed a resolution, H.R. 461, that established the select panel, the select investigative panel, to look at what is going on here. So our directive is very clear. We are to gather the information and report back to the House by the end of the year, and that is why we are working diligently and quickly to get our job done.
The challenge I think we have in anything that has to do with the bureaucracy and the process, Congressman, and I'm sure you'd agree, is that we are in a very, agitated era right now. I say often that we've become a microwave generation where we stand in front of the microwave and yell, hurry up. But the due process of the way things operate, whether it's D.C., and I'm not saying it's a fault. I believe it's a prudent thing. You got to gather all the facts first. And then you know what you're dealing with. But, sometimes it's, you get that grief to happiness ratio that goes on, and where people are feeling a lot of grief over this situation that is now before our face. And we're saying, why is this taking so long to get it resolved?
It takes a while because we have to abide by the rule of law. When you establish a select investigative panel or committee, you then have to go through the process of standing that committee up. There has to be the process of allowing that committee to organize itself, and then the process of getting work. Well, that's not done overnight, and it takes you 2 or 3 months to get to that point where you actually can organize and get to work. So it does take a while. And we as Republicans, and what Republicans want us to do is to follow the rule of law, not
right.
to act by executive action. So when you do that, when you dot your I's and you cross your T's, it takes a while to comply with the letter of the law, and that is what we continue to do.
Well, I appreciate, how you've been able to make some adjustment. I mean, your background, you were in sales, that's how you start, you've come along in life. You're a sales manager for Times Mirror for many years. And in sales, we do things like yesterday, And
yes,
so now here you are, you go, okay, and you're talking to me, and you do this in such a way, I go, wow, she's really, and maybe you look back on yourself and say, gosh, girl, you really come a long way here.
Well, I think one of the things that is frustrating to my constituents, and I'm certainly, Bill, to your listeners, is they do want to see more immediate action. And we go as fast as we possibly can to make these things happen, but people would be very frustrated with us. If we were to move forward at a pace and then things were to be proven incorrect or information were to be thrown out, they want us to get it right the first time.
Exactly.
And sometimes getting it right the first time means that you carefully do your due diligence and that you follow the prescribed process. And we all know that our founders set our framework of government up in such a way that you do have to work through a process. And we are required to abide by the rules of the House and the rules of the Energy and Commerce Committee in which the Select Committee sits.
Exactly. Well, and maybe it's because we got you on it, and being the chair of the Select Investigative Committee, explain to our audience what it is and what it isn't. Because some people, we've got a Select Investigative Committee. They're going to jail somebody at Planned Parenthood. But that's not the purpose of the Select Investigative Committee, is it?
No. What the Select Investigative Panel is charged to do is to look at the medical practices of the abortion industry, the business practices of the procurement industry, and the relationship between the two. We're also charged to look at how the late-term abortion ban is being upheld or violated, the Born Alive Child Act. We are to review these medical practices of the abortion industry to make certain there is not manipulation of abortions or violation of that. So we are to gather all of that information and then report our findings back to the House and to the authorizing committees that would be the ones responsible for changing any of the laws that are on the books that deal with this. You know, Title 42 U.S.C. 289 G2, which prohibits the transfer of any human fetal tissue for valuable consideration. That would be for profit. Mm-hmm. And that states that when you transfer human tissue and organs, that you can recoup your costs for transportation, implantation, processing, preservation, quality control, and storage. Mm-hmm. You cannot make a profit. It is illegal in this country to make a profit from the sale of baby body parts or human organs, things of that nature.
How long has the law been in effect, Congressman?
The law has been on the books. The first time there was a provision on the books was 84, and then the NIH Reauthorization Act in 93. So what the concern is was there violation of this by these abortion clinics and by these procurement businesses that have set up, that have websites and things of that nature, where you can go in and choose a gestation period, choose a particular organ, whether it's a heart, a lung, tongue, scalp, whatever, and order it, check out, and then choose the shipping method. So our job is to go in and review this and to see how it is that payments may have been made by customers or researchers or entities to these procurement businesses that would exceed the costs that were incurred by the procurement business. And that is what we will get to. We're looking very carefully at it. We are being very careful with how we compile the information. We are making certain that identities are protected. We are also moving forward with our work to find out what has happened on the backside of this. How are they making profits? How are they able to set a price for a brain or a heart? What all has gone into this? So, Bill, we're going to, your listeners can keep up with me. They'll find me on the web. It is blackburn.house. .gov. Facebook is Marsha Blackburn. Twitter is at Marsha Blackburn. And I invite them to stay in touch with us and to become engaged in.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7 Second Walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7 Second Walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7 Second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No. I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly, certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Why do they dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? Compromising digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss, and many other health complications. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acid, healthy body. That's 855-305-8326.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
No, you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place yours.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online, on your smartphone, however way you can find us, do so and tell your friends to join in. We're in over 275 markets across these United States and around the world via shortwave as well. Thank you for joining us. I'm Bill Martinez. Bob Waliszewski is with us, Focus on the Family's Director of Media and Culture and Director of Focus's Plugged In Department, which features the popular Plugged In website, PluggedIn.com. Robert, how are we doing?
Hi, Bill. Happy Monday.
Hey, it is a happy Monday. I mean, you've been on a whirlwind tour here. The Sun Unit got married off over the weekend, and you know, Scotty said he really intended to save us some cake. You know,
I know. Maybe they did the traditional save back so that they can eat it on their first anniversary, and we can have a little sliver for you someplace.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Hey, we'll go over there. We'll celebrate. You think they'd let us come over and celebrate their first anniversary with them? We'll bring some mariachis. We'll have fun. You know, why not, huh?
I wanted to go with them. Where, you know, it's like, okay, do I jump in the back of the seat? I'm ready. Let's go. Where are we going to go vacation?
Yeah, exactly.
But it was a wonderful wedding. It was held in Bloomington, Indiana. We're Colorado people, of course.
Right.
Family and friends traveled out there. Why Bloomington? Because that's where they went to law school. It's where they met. Mm-hmm. And she's from Indianapolis, not too far. But yeah, we had a lot of people come down. Trevor went to Notre Dame in his undergrad years. A lot of people came from South Bend, a lot of people from law school, a lot of family. It was well attended. It was just a great, great, wonderful wedding. We loved this gal. She's a sweetheart. So,
oh, that's good.
It was great. Everything went well except for something I call the lost ring.
Yeah, you were telling me about that. I want to hear the story. The lost ring. Oh, my goodness. All things to lose. You could lose the cake, but don't lose the ring.
I know. Well, we're following our son and his new bride to the reception. They're in their car, and all of a sudden they pull off. About 10 minutes later, they call my wife on her cell phone and say, "Mom, I lost my ring." Well, they headed on to the reception. Mm-hmm. We headed back to the church. We were on the altar. We were up and down underneath the pews. We were in the grass. We were in the parking lot. We were checking the men's restroom, going through the trash in case while he dried his hands in the paper, it fell in the trash can. I mean, we were doing everything we could. We could not find it. Make a long story short, after the reception, we came back. My wife's sister and husband were there. They'd been there a half hour looking. They hadn't found it. We got to the parking lot. About 5 minutes later, my wife's sister found it in the parking lot. She goes, I found the ring.
No way.
But that's not the end of the story. Then we get back to the hotel. My wife hands me the ring myself. All I have to do is make it up to the lobby to our room mm-hmm. and with the ring. We were going to take a nap because it had been a long day. I'm laying down in bed for a nap, and all of a sudden I go, what did I do with that ring? I couldn't remember. I got up. I looked around. I couldn't find it, and I woke my wife up, who was asleep by then. I said, honey, what did you do with the ring? And she said, I gave it to you. I said, I was afraid you were going to say that because I don't know where it is.
Oh, my God.
Another long story short, went back to the front desk, asked them if anybody turned it in. Nope. The gal from housekeeping started following me. So I said, I just walked from here to my room. So she's following me all the way, and I'm glad she did. She got down on her hands and knees after we got up on the elevator, and out of the elevator, and she said, if I was a ring, where would I hide? She said.
Oh, my goodness.
And I kept walking down the hallway, went to the room, couldn't find it. I was very carefully looking. Pretty soon, knock, 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 knock on my door, and she's standing out in the hallway. She said, I found your ring.
Oh,
so we lost the ring twice in 4 hours at the wedding. This is like Lord of the Rings. This is like Bilbo Baggins.
Precious. My precious ring. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's hysterical. So twice you're going. So what did you do then? Did you just get it to your son as quickly as possible?
No. By then, they'd already taken off for their honeymoon. So my wife has it
under lock and key
box at home, and we will seal it up with all sorts of tape, and we will insure it to the yin yang. And by the way, this is a family heirloom. This belonged to my father. It's not the most expensive ring in the world, but it's been handed down, so it's a special ring, you know?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, exactly. Like you said, it's Lord of the Rings here. That's it. Well, what you do is you give it to him with one of those, you know, what are those keychain things that you pull out, you know, and it kind of stays to your hip, you know, kind of thing. It's and you know, what do you call those things? You know, but you
like a watch bit bob or something.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, you know, wherever it goes, he's got the, you go, well, why do you have, don't even ask. It's just, it's there.
Yeah.
It's a conversation piece is all it is. But what a great story. Well, thank God that you found, I mean, to go and lose that.
I would, Bill, be in the doghouse so much right now if after finding it in the parking lot, we never found it again. I mean, I would be in the doghouse for a year. I mean,
okay. So I got to ask you, how did you? Do you have any idea how you lost it, or you just put your hand in the pocket and maybe it fell out?
I never put the ring in my pocket. I was carrying a bunch of stuff, little stuff. I had my cell phone in my hand. I had my room key in my hand. I had the car keys, but I'd given those to my wife because she was going out to change some glass. I mean, it was all just a pile of little stuff in my hand.
Right.
And then I had the ring in there, too. So I just was spacey. I don't know why. I should have just...
Wives got to understand this. They got to understand the same, because they always tell us that they're the, you know, geniuses at multitasking. Guys don't multitask very well. So what do you expect? I mean, you asked me to multitask. So now, you know, so it's your fault that I lost the ring.
There you go.
I'm sure that went over really well.
Wouldn't fly.
Yeah, I was going to say, good luck with that one.
Well, you know, hey, it's our fantasy, you know. It's a guy's fantasy. We think we can, hey, I'll tell her. Yeah, right. Okay, we know how that works. Hey, let's talk movies. Captain America, Disney, very good, huh? He's keep on going, collecting all kinds of money.
Well, here we go. 2 weeks, Captain America, Civil War. It has already made almost $300 million in 2 weeks.
Unbelievable.
Globally, I can't even remember what the figure is, $800 million extra or something. It's just, and it's no surprise. We all knew that. There's something about these superhero movies that have caught on. People love them. They continue to support them. In my mind, we gave it a 3, pretty decent score for families.
Right.
With kids, teens, you wouldn't want to take your younger kids. Mm-hmm. Not a bad score. Now, personally, I think these fight scenes go on a little bit too long. Personally, I thought the movie was a little too long, but, you know, I shrug my shoulders because I realize I'm not the target audience. Really, what I'm trying to do is, if you have a teenager, they want to go see Captain America Civil War, and they haven't joined the $300 million worth of income so far,
right.
You know, it's probably not a hill I'd die on to say no.
Exactly.
Not perfect, but, you know. And the Jungle Book is another $311 million. It's now been out 5 weeks. Good for Disney. I mean,
hey, who's counting all their money? I mean, how do you count that much money?
You know, it's interesting because I read yesterday that Disney stock has just dropped because, what they say, I guess it's the theme parks haven't done in their Disney Channel memberships, or, you know, just sign up for Disney Channel hasn't done very well. So there's actually, they're struggling. The only thing that kept them afloat really was Star Wars. Now, I think in this next quarter, they can start banking Jungle Book money and other money.
Captain America, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
wow.
Captain America money.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So,
but, yeah, you would think that with their string of successes that they would, the stock would be just
they'd be in
the stratosphere.
You know, a fat clover right now, you know?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So, all right, so what else on the radar for, you know, last week, this week, coming up, what do you got?
Well, last week was an interesting one. The fact that I was gone for a wedding and I wasn't able to do my normal radio interviews about it, it turned out to be a perfect week. Because
hey, didn't the movie houses know they're supposed to take a break? I mean, when you're gone to a wedding, it's not like you go every week. I mean,
it's almost like they knew because they did take a break. They released a horror film called The Darkness and Money Monster, which was an R-rated film, which I wouldn't have talked about on the radio anyways. Mm-hmm. So what we did talk about on the recorded feature I do was Last Days in the Desert, a film about Jesus Christ's temptation in the wilderness. It's an imagining. Obviously, the Bible, just like Young Messiah, we don't know what Jesus was like at seven.
Right.
This was an imagining of what it might have been like for Jesus in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. But even though we did this one, it was in a very limited release situation. It wasn't a perfect setup. Probably even now talking about it, we have, even though your show is syndicated and in a bunch of markets, the movie is not in very many markets. But for those markets where it does overlap, I will say this. We gave it another three. Here's just like Civil War. Jesus is a little bit mamby-pamby-ish. Probably not the way most of us feel Jesus was when he walked physically on the planet. That said, there's a lot of stuff this film does do. It does right. It makes us think, you know, what was the temptation experience like? He's quite a prayer warrior, and which he really was, and he prays a lot. He's trying to listen to hear his father and all that. So it was a bit of a mixed bag. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, you know, we're talking with the Aiello brothers again. We're going to have them on later on this week and talk about the success of Risen. I mean, the 10th largest grossing faith film, you know, and they've done fairly well with that. And kind of the same thing, you know, it's like, all right, what would it be like if you had an outsider, you know, reporting on, you know, the events in Jerusalem upon the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? And not only that, it's not a journalism. I mean, you've got somebody within the government whose job is to, you know, really watch these things and keep an eye on it. So, you know, rather interesting perspective.
A skeptic, too. I mean, it wasn't like he was a believer trying to report on it. He was a skeptic. Risen is a well-done film. By the way, listeners, it comes out on DVD on May 24th.
Exactly.
So if you haven't seen it yet, and I know we have listeners who have not, do yourself a favor and buy it, rent it, borrow it.
Or send me an email at bill@billmartinezlive.com. You might win it free because we're giving away some free DVDs as well, just for fun.
Very cool.
Bob Olszewski from Focus on the Family. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Suffering from illness or disease?
Frequently in pain?
Overstressed?
Always tired?
The solution is to oxygenate your cells because
disease cannot survive in an oxygen-rich environment.
Introducing Vital Ion, the first mineralized edible oxygen in the world. Go to toolsforfreedom.com and get the Miracle of Oxygenation DVD free with any Vital Ion purchase. Call 800-770-8802. That's 800-770-8802. Let Vital Ion edible oxygen be your daily fountain of youth.